Open your Bible, please, to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 5. Heavenly Father, I'm very excited about what I'm going to share, and I'm very excited about what we're going to do. But God, I pray that as we, in a few moments, light these candles, I pray it's more than just coming to church and lighting the candle. May somehow tonight, God, the Holy Spirit make clear to each of us that we are the light of the world. And think about how we can do that better. So God, bless us in these moments with an unusual leadership of the Holy Spirit, awareness, presence, and anointing. As I share from my heart from the Word, and as people receive in their ears, that it go into their heart, as only your Spirit can accomplish. God, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the, I think, greatest compliments that Jesus ever gave to believers is in the scripture we're going to read tonight. And you say, Pastor, what is it? Here's what it is. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll show you the specific verse in a moment. But Jesus told the believers that they were what he was. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's who Jesus is. And in our scripture, in fact, look with me in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 1. We know it, the Sermon on the Mount. But the Bible says, seeing the multitudes, that is the great crowds, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, now look at this, his disciples came to him. The disciples here refers to the 12. There are levels of disciples in the New Testament. We'll not go off on that, but this speaks of the 12. So Jesus has withdrawn himself up on this mountain, and his 12 disciples come to him. And the Bible says in verse 2, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and we know them, of course, as Beatitudes. But look down with me as he continued in this sermon. In verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Now, that's the greatest compliment Jesus ever paid to believers. He said, you are the light of the world. Not you should be, not you can be. He just makes this statement to his 12 disciples. And we are followers of Jesus, so it applies to us as well. We are what he was. And then he illustrates that, if you look on in verse 14. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So that's his illustration. But look in verse 16. Because this is what Jesus says we as believers are to do. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, what I want us to do tonight before we light these candles is think a moment or two about, you know, ways that we can reflect his light. Now, understand, we don't produce the light. No. We reflect the light. Jesus is the light. And when we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts, and we saw a good number do that today, even at the end of the second service, one of the most beautiful things, a young boy came to me with his friend and said, Pastor, and he told me his friend's name, he said he wants to ask Jesus in his heart. Now, we're not talking about a little bitty guy. We're talking about a young boy. And we sat down on the front row and talked about that a moment. And he prayed. Right, service was over. People at that point had gone. And that young man asked the Lord Jesus to come into his heart. And so what happened, the Holy Spirit came into his heart. And so he, this morning, had the light come live in him. Now, in his life, in your life, in my life, we are reflectors of the light that lives in us. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's think about some ways that we can do that. First of all, we reflect His light when other people see our good works. Now you say, now wait a minute, we're not to go about doing good works that others see them. Correct. But when we go about doing good works for God, others do see them. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said, you are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So we reflect the light that lives in us when we go about doing good works in kingdom work. Every believer should be doing something in kingdom work. And when we do that, we just reflect the light that lives in us. I saw this in the most beautiful way, not this past week, but the week before. And I do not have their permission to use their name, but I must do so. I think it's okay. One of the sweet families of our church, who's not able to now attend as they once did because of physical reasons, is Don and Darlene Galt. And many of you know Darlene. She's one of the sweetest people I've ever pastored. And Darlene has a disease now that has her in a wheelchair. And actually, the only thing she can do is move one arm this way. Not this way, this way. But I was in the home visiting. They had told me what would be a good time to come. And when I arrived, the caregiver was there kind of finishing up with Darlene and what they do. And so I went into the kitchen area with Don to kind of be out of the way while the caregiver was completing what the caregiver had come to do. And be that as it may, the caregiver had gone in the kitchen, I think, to check to be sure all of her medicine was like it's supposed to be. And I'm still in the kitchen around the table with Don. And they had rolled Darlene into the kitchen area in her wheelchair. And the caregiver came in to tell her she was leaving. And most amazing thing, Darlene said, could I please pray for you before you leave? And she was not able to lift her hand up, but she lifted her hand out this way and put on some part of her body. And Darlene prayed one of the most beautiful prayers for the caregiver. You'd think the caregiver maybe would have been praying for her or whatever. And I should have had my eyes closed, but I was just so overwhelmed with that whole thing. And after I left, thinking about our service tonight, I thought, you talk about being a reflector of the light that lives in us. Darlene Gall reflected the light of Jesus in one of the most beautiful, simple ways, praying for somebody that was there to care for her. Well, we'll come back to this idea in a moment. Secondly, we reflect God's light when our good works glorify God. Look again in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This word glorify, the idea is give God credit. That's the literal thought behind that word. You know, it's sad, but in kingdom work, so many times people give themselves credit. Like, they don't say, look what I did, but in another way they do. I want to just encourage you is whatever you do in kingdom work, always work at being sure God gets the credit for what you are blessed to be able to be part. And it is a very good, don't do it to make yourself look good. Do what you do for God to make Him look good. That's the idea of glorifying God. Everything we do as a church and as individual believers should be, for what reason? To make God look good. Could I have an amen to that? And you know, that's something we need to always keep before us in our church. Whatever we do as a church, we think about the missionaries we support and the beyond these walls things that we do. Look, all that's to make God look good, not to make First Baptist look good. You know, I have preacher friends. In fact, I don't have any more preacher friends than I do because I have a hard time with those I have. Because all they want to talk about is what their church is doing. It's just all about them. Look, it needs to be about God. Could we have an amen to that? you know, we don't, it's okay to invite people to church, and we should. And it's okay to say how God's blessing the church. But the big subject matter should be God. Give God credit for what God has done. Through his people, yes, but it's God doing whatever is done that really has eternal consequences. And then another way we can reflect his light is when his joy is in us. We'll not turn to it, but in John chapter 17, that's the chapter that actually has the prayer that Jesus prayed. You know, we talk about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, but that's a model prayer. He didn't pray that prayer. He gave us that to show us how to pray. But in John 17, he actually prayed a prayer to God. He first prayed for himself, and then he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for others who would become believers. That would include you and me. And in that prayer for his disciples, it's a very beautiful thing he prayed. He prayed that his joy would be fulfilled in them. That's John chapter 17. I think it's verse 13. He's praying for his disciples that the joy that he had would be fulfilled in their life. And so that's one way we reflect the light that lives in us. You know, a joyless Christian, if they're consistently a joyless Christian, there's something wrong. Because if the light lives in us, now there'll be times we won't be as joyous as other times, but, you know, seems like some Christians, maybe I'm just around them at the wrong time. There's just not much joy there. And I think the reason is, this would be a good thought for another whole sermon, the reason would be not so much what they do, it's what they fail to do. Now, obviously, if we've committed a sin and not asked forgiveness, we're going to lose the joy of our salvation. You know, that's what David prayed in Psalm 51. He said, God, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. David had lost the joy of his salvation because he had committed a sin. But the fact of the matter is, in most of our lives, when we don't have the joy of the light that lives in us, at that moment, at that time in our life, short or season, matters not, we're not doing the basic things we have to do to have that joy. We've become negligent in our Bible reading. We've become negligent in our prayer life. We're haphazard about our spiritual disciplines. And then we wonder, you know, why don't I have the joy of Jesus? Well, when we're doing the things we should do, that joy will be there in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, Jesus said, look at it again in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I know it's what Jesus says, but I don't know whether I could say I'm the light of the world. Now, listen to me very carefully. Whether you want to accept it or not, you are the light of the world. The question is not whether you're the light or not. Jesus says you're the light. He says you are what I am. I'm the light of the world, and now you're the light. Okay, but you say, well, you know, when you boil that down and get it to be practical, it doesn't work out too well. I have these two little flashlights, and we're going to work on it with the thing behind me because you couldn't really see the flashlights very well. But be that as it may, this is a neat little flashlight. It zooms. You may have one of these kind of lights. I can zoom, you know. Like right now, let's turn around behind me. Hopefully it's going to come up. Now I think many times that little zoomed in light is perhaps the light that I am. Maybe the light that you are. That is, it's easier to be the light down here at the church. For an hour and 10 minutes. I mean, you get dressed up and look pretty good and come on down here and smile at everybody and tell everybody everything's wonderful when it's not all wonderful, you know. There's more lies told in church you can shake a stick, you know. You know, you say to people, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. They're not all doing great. You know, there's a broken heart on every pew, probably more than that. But sometimes that's kind of, I'm sure. But Jesus didn't say, but you're the light of the church. Look back in verse 14. He said, you're the light of the what? Of the world. But that's sometimes, for many believers, they're light. They are light. but they are that kind of light. Now, I have this other flashlight here that this flashlight, I'll have to make it do it. Here it comes. Hey, boy, this light flickers. That's flicker of the light. Yeah. Now, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. I fear sometimes, man, I'm just beating myself up terrible, but sometimes I'm afraid that's my light too. Like I flicker on a little good light and then I flicker off and I flicker on. Am I the only person here like that? Oh, we're about to have confession time here. This thing's liable to break loose. Many, if we'll be honest, there's probably more of this than that zoomed in one. You know, we have periods where we are flickered on and then we have things we flicker off. Well, we're the light of the world. We may be a zoomed in light. We may be a flickering light. Now, my first flashlight that zooms in also zooms out. Let's zoom that thing. Can we zoom out my light? There we go. Boy, I'm telling you what. Now, that's what Jesus wants us to be. Look at the verse. He says, you are the light of the world. In other words, we're not just to be a light down here at the church, or light just when we're around our Christian friends, or just a light when things are kind of going our way. See, it's easy to be a light here. But out in the world, everything out there is not always fair. Everything's not working kind of our way. We've made the appointment at the doctor's office for a certain hour, and 2 hours later, we're still waiting to see the doctor. Boy, my light goes to flickering sometime like that. Do you ever have that problem? Or I pick my cleaning up, and I don't only have one crease. They blessed me, and they have three creases in one of my legs. And I need to remember now, don't be a flickering light. You know, when John called that lady down at the water department, I hope he was as nice as he sounded this morning when he told that story. But I believe he had his light on good because she erased that late charge fee and talked to him real nice. And, you know, the woman at the bank didn't give him much hope in what he'd asked her to do. But be that as it may, I'm saying this to you. Out in what we, here's what you call it. People say to me often, preacher, you just don't understand the real world. Well, where do y'all think I live all during the week? Yeah. And remember, I didn't start out in this real world y'all talk about being a preacher. So I understand it on both sides. Out there, everything's not always right. Could I have an amen to that? Everybody out there is not always fair. Everybody out there doesn't do what they should do, what they promised to do, what they said they would do. But hear me, folks, you are a light. And I want to encourage first my own self, not just here before all the people behind a desk in the church, but out in the real world out there where we live, whatever we go through this week, everywhere we go. I want to just say, God, help me to be the light, reflecting the light that lives in me, in my home, among my neighbors, in my going hither and yon. People I know, people I don't even have a clue who they are, doesn't make any difference. You are the light. And you know what? That might be our greatest witness. People look and say, you know, there's something about him. There's something about her that's just different. I want you to bow with me tonight with our heads bowed and hearts opened. This is such a great gathering tonight. It well may be tonight that some are here and you've never invited the light, Jesus, to come live in your heart. And tonight, maybe you didn't come to church even thinking about a thing like this, but right now you just feel inside, I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I need to trust him for my salvation. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. And then others tonight, you've already done that. But maybe tonight you could be a light right here in God's church by coming in. If you feel God leading you to come, be a part of the church here, not just to join the church. No, that's good. We'd love to have you join the church, but we'd want to help you find your place in the church where you can reflect the light that lives in you already. You say, I'm already a Christian. Well, wonderful. Well, if God's leading you to be in this church, and you say, well, how would I know? You'll just feel it. Just like where you buy gas, you buy it most of the time you buy gas same place. Most of us do. We shop in the same grocery store most of the time. Sometimes not most of the time. Why? They all sell groceries. Every gas station sells gas, but we just have a gas station that we kind of know, we just feel like we fit. Grocery store, man, look, we just have one that we just kind of feel like this is home to me. It's the same way with church. These churches teaching Jesus, they're all Jesus's church. But yet, you'll find one out there and you just think, you know what? I feel I fit here. That's the Holy Spirit's way of saying to you, hey, you can come put your life in this church and reflect the light that lives in you, and you'll be a light to the world, not just at church, but out here in the real world, where we have a great opportunity to be a witness reflecting His light. So, Father God, Lord, tonight, I ask you now, if we have those here that feel like they have a decision to make, I pray, God, these next moments when we sing, I pray they'll just quickly come, pray with one of us here at the front, and we'll help them take their next step. I pray, God, for some tonight that need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, make me a Christian. God, maybe tonight's the night that you're speaking to them to do that. Bless these moments of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.